Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right, I have a verse for you to see first of all, if my friend can get it up there. No, not that one. That's very good, but we won't do that one today. Here we are, this is one. Yeah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I don't know if you know this verse. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Who is speaking? Well, it's God himself who is speaking, the Almighty, the creator of the earth. So God is speaking, and he is speaking to his people. So if you're one of his people, it is relevant to you today. So think of that. The God who holds the universe in his hand, upholds it by the word of his power. He says this today. So maybe it's a verse just for you. I don't know what your problems are in life today, but maybe this is just a verse for you. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future, the future, and a hope. Now, isn't that a beautiful verse? Don't you think so? A really beautiful verse. Richard and I drove down from Zambia to Durban in South Africa. It was a long drive, about 2,000 miles, maybe more than that. I'm not absolutely sure. And whilst we were down there, we went to visit a girl called Judy. Now, I worked with a man called Gordon Suckling, and he had six children. And Judy was one of these children. She got cancer of the eyes when she was a baby, and she had to have both her eyes removed. But even though she had her eyes removed, she was a remarkable person, was Judy. She actually knew the map of London from memorizing it from Braille. And one of the things she did was she went into competitions where she directed a driver all over London through the back streets and different places. Absolutely amazing what Judy could do. She could do water skiing and all sorts of other things. There was a lot of tragedy in their family. Her brother died in a car accident. Her sister died after a fall. And her own son, who was born after she got married, got the same disease of cancer in the eyes. But they managed to save 10% of his sight. But he wanted to be like his mother. He went everywhere and he got knocked down on his bicycle. And unfortunately, he died. You'd think that'd be enough, wouldn't you? But then she got secondary cancer and it came back to her liver. And we went down to see her. And we went into the hospice where she was. And we went to comfort Judy. But she was a remarkable person. And she says, I want to pray for you. Well, we went to pray for her. She said, I want to pray for you. So we held hands together. And she prayed for Barry and for Rachel. And in her prayer, she quoted this verse. This was 30 years ago. And I can remember it so clearly. And she prayed with great emotion and said, Lord, we thank you for this verse and we claim it today as a right for ourselves. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And she said, Lord, I thank you that I've got a future and a hope. And I pray for the blessing on Rachel and Barry as well. Wonderful thing. Faith. Wonderful thing. This was a terrible time in the history when this verse was given. It was a terrible time in the history of the nation of Israel. Everything had gone wrong. It was just a disaster there. The Babylonians came, Nebuchadnezzar, and they overran the nation and all the nations round about. And they transported the people of Israel away into the east to Babylon. They left a few poor, uneducated people behind, but the main people of the nation were transported away into captivity into Babylon. Their king Zedekiah was blinded. His sons were killed. The temple was burnt. All the things of the temple, the lampstand, the altar, the ark, the beautiful garments, the wonderful covers that cover the holy place were destroyed. The walls of the city were knocked down and destroyed. Catastrophe. Everything had gone wrong. There was no future. There was no hope for these people. It could not have been worse. But in this catastrophe, prophets arose in the land. False prophets. People had gone down to Babylon. Amongst them, false prophets rose up. And these prophets wanted to give hope and a future to the people of Israel. And so there's one prophet called Hananiah. You can read about him in Jeremiah chapter 28 and in chapter 29. And he stood up one day and says, "The Lord of hosts says..." That's a very dangerous thing to do that. To take the name of the Lord God on your lips is a dangerous thing. Be careful. It can be coming, taking the name of the Lord in vain. But Ananias says, "The Lord of hosts has said, I have broken Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. In 2 years, I will restore all the articles of the house of the Lord." And the king who had been taken away in the first deportation, Jehoiachin, and all the exiles down here in Babylon, "I will return to Babylon. Thus says the Lord." It's a dangerous thing to say that. "Thus says the Lord." If the Lord has actually spoken, it's a wonderful, emancipating thing. Wonderful. But if the Lord has not sent you, be careful of using the name of the Lord. This man, I think he was a good man in many ways. He loved his people. He wanted them to be delivered. He prayed for these people. And in their present suffering, he longed for them to go back. And so he stood up to encourage the people. But in his enthusiasm to encourage the people, he was actually prophesying a lie. Because what he was saying would not come to pass. "In 2 years, you'll be leaving here, and you'll be going back, and the temple will be built, and all the things of the temple will be taken back. You'll get your fields back again in 2 years' time." But it wasn't possible, because God had already told his people, "Because of your sins, you're going down into Babylon until 70 years pass away." So God had told them that. 70 years. It's there in chapter 28. It's there in chapter 29. It's there in the prophecies of the Old Testament. But this man, in his desire to encourage his people, steps outside of the will of God. In eternity past, God had planned that they would be there for 70 years. In 2 years, you're going back. So what he was saying was in opposition to the written word of God that was there. 70 years, but he says in 2 years. And you know, in 2 months, he died. This prophet actually died in 2 months. When they went down, Jeremiah told them, he sent a letter. Jeremiah wrote a letter because he remained there in Jerusalem. But Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, wrote a letter to the people. He heard about these prophecies. He heard what was being said, and he wrote a letter. And in the letter he said this to the people of Israel. Because when they got this prophecy from Hananiah, they all stopped working, and they all started singing their songs and dancing. In 2 years, we're going back. So they stopped cultivating their fields. They stopped working. We're going back to Israel. But Jeremiah wrote this letter to them. He says, no. Build houses. Plant gardens. Eat the fruit of your gardens. Take wives and bear sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and your daughters. And husbands for your daughters, so that they may bear sons and daughters, so that you may increase, so that you may increase and not diminish. Seek the peace of the city. Where you've gone in captivity, pray for this city. For in the peace of this city, you will get peace. If things prosper here, you will prosper. You're here for 70 years, not for 2 years. So don't diminish. Work, build houses, get married, have children, pray. Make the place work where you are. For these other prophets, they prophesy falsely in my name. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my word, my good word, and cause you to return to this place. For I know. That's where it comes in, you see. Build houses, settle down, 70 years, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But it will be in 70 years time. Can you give us the next slide there? Now in 600, is it too small or can you see this? Good. It was a bit bigger on my computer, but we had a bit of a problem with that. 605 BC. That's when Nebuchadnezzar defeated Egypt and took over the empire and started to reign. That's when he took over the rule over Israel. And that's when he took off the first deportation of people from Israel down to Babylon. In 604 BC, Nebuchadnezzar takes control. And God says you can start counting now. 605 BC. A few years later, in 586 BC, the temple was destroyed. It was the second part of this deportation. The temple is destroyed. Jerusalem is destroyed. The walls are knocked down. Everything. Disaster. 586. And then false prophets arose. In 2 years' time, you're going back. Don't build houses. Fight against these people. Jeremiah said, no, don't fight against them. This is the will of God. Pray for them. In their peace, you will have peace because you're going to be here for 70 years. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of hope to give you a future. Now, I want to talk about hope, but just put that on the side for a minute. Hope. It's the Hebrew word tikva, but just hold that for a minute. In 535 BC, So they went off in 605 BC. The temple was destroyed in 586 BC. God says 70 years. When should we start counting? Well, if you look down here, take 605. Have you got a calculator? You're good at the back, aren't you, on mathematics? That's your favourites. If you take 70 off 605, what date do you get? You can look at your telephone if you want. So it's we're going backwards, don't forget. Not adding, but subtracting. So 535 BC. Take 70 So if somebody was very acute and knew the mind of God like Jeremiah did, on 6:05 they would think, something's going to happen on 535 BC. What's going to happen on 535 BC? Well, I've told you there. And you look in Nehemiah and Ezra, you'll see this. It's written there in those two books. On 535, the foundation, because Cyrus got rid of the Babylonians, he took over the kingdom, the Persians, and he sent people back from Babylon into Israel again to start to rebuild in Israel. And on 535, they started to build a temple and they finished the foundation. On 535 BC, the foundation of the temple was built. And we've got it there. 605 minus 535 is what? 70. Does God make mistakes? Does God lie? God said how long? Hananiah said, and he had enthusiasm, and he prayed about it, and he prophesied about it, and the people followed him, and they believed him. But God never makes a mistake. If God says 70, what does he mean? He means 70. But if you look at 586, that's when the temple was destroyed. But if you look down here, on 516, take 70 off 586. What date do you get? 70, it's over here. 516. Huh? Yeah, 70 years, isn't it? Take 70 off 586, and you get 516. What happened on 516? You can see it there written. Not only in the Bible. This is not only in the Bible. You can look into history on Google. Or if you use chat, whatever you call it, it will tell you on there just the same thing. I just got onto chat this week. I've never used it before, but you can ask. Tell me when was the temple rebuilt? And it will tell you there. The new temple was completed. The foundation, 535, the new temple completed on 515. How many days, how many years is that? 70 years. So whether you're talking about the beginning of the temple or the completion of the temple, it's 70 years, whichever way you count it, 70 years. God says, not 2 years, God says 70 years. So build your houses, settle down, and wait for me, because you're going to be there for 70 years. Because I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. What are the plans I have for you? I know the thoughts that I think, the plans that I think towards you, says the Lord. Plans to give you peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now that word hope, what does hope mean to you? Hope. Well, you're standing for us. Rachel and I went to Birmingham a few weeks ago. And we had a real job up here. It said, the bus is coming in 2 minutes' time. Well, half an hour later, it was still saying, the bus is coming in two. So we went. We managed to get into Birmingham and we walked around. We were very tired. We came back here later on and we stood at another bus stop and this thing set up here. The bus is coming in 3 minutes' time. And we counted one, two, three. And suddenly, it disappeared off the screen. And another sign came, your bus is coming in 15 minutes' time. And it was very cold. But we stood there for, what were we doing? We were hoping. I was really hoping that, I was tired. But what was my hope? It was a vague desire that somehow, in this, I don't know what the reason was, sickness or what it was, but in some way, I was vaguely wanting that, and I used the word hope. So hope in modern day parlance is some vague desire that might happen, and it might not happen. That's not the hope of the Bible. The word in Greek is elpis. The hope of the Bible in the New Testament, elpis, is something certain, something assured, something is definitely going to happen. You may have to wait for it, but it will definitely happen. Absolute assurance. Elpis in Greek. What about Hebrew?
Well, here's the word in Hebrew there. Do you see it? Can you see it? One, two, three, fourth down, fifth down. Hope in Hebrew, the word is what? Tikva. Come on, say it, everybody. Tikva. You'll remember that, won't you? What's it in Greek? Elpis. What's it in Hebrew? Tikva. Now, what does tikva mean in Hebrew? Well, it's a bit strange, is this? Because the word tikva in Hebrew means a rope or a cord. That's the word they use for hope, a cord. Now, there's nothing very stable about a cord, is there? A cord at this end, nothing very stable there. And at the other end, nothing very stable. But it depends what you fasten it to, doesn't it? If you fasten this to a sheep, that's the kind of hope we have today. Maybe, maybe not, you don't know what's going to happen. But if you fasten that hope to a rock or something secure, it gives you security. Because on the other end, who's on the other end? I'm on this end of that rope, but something secure is on the other end of that rope. And it's that thing, that rock, that gives it security. So in the Hebrew language, even to today, the word for hope is tikva. What is the word?
Tikva.
And it means a rope. You remember a lady called Rahab? Not a very nice lady, was she? A very immoral lady. But God, because she helped the people of Israel, God decided that she was going to be saved. And when the people of Israel came and they saw around, they said, look, we're coming back again to take over Jericho. But you will be saved. You will live if you display a tikva in the window. The same thing. But it's a crimson tikva. You know the word crimson in Hebrew? It means the blood of an insect. That's where it comes from. It's a dye from insects that have been crushed. And it makes it a crimson colour. So they had to crush these insects and dye the rope to make it crimson. And she had to tie it in the window so that when the armies of Israel came in and when they saw the tikva crimson there in the window, she would be saved. You see, that tikva, one end was fastened to the word of God. God promised that Rahab would be saved because she had put her faith, not in the moon as the rest of the people of Jericho, but in the word of God, in the God of creation. That's where the other end of this rope was fastened. But on this end, Rahab and her family and her relations and anybody else that would come into the house, if they were in that house where this tikva was, they would be saved. So a tikva is a very, but if it's fastened to the word of God and you cling to the other end, you have something that's absolutely secure. Tikva. God says 70 years. When the Lord Jesus went back again, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father comes up. Jesus had died. He died on Thursday. He died on Friday, sorry. He rose again on Sunday. Not Saturday, but Sunday. Not the Sabbath, but the day after the Sabbath. He rose again. And then when Jesus was going to the grave, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes down. On the day of what? Pentecost. Do you know what Pentecost means? Pentecost means 50. Pentecost is a Greek word. It means 50. Now, God had told them in Leviticus chapter 23, there were three feasts that Israel had to keep. The feast of the Passover, the feast of the first fruits, the first sheaf, sorry, the feast of the Passover, the feast of the first sheaf, and then the feast of the first fruits. Now, the Passover is when the Lord Jesus was a picture of the Lord Jesus dying. Jesus died on a Friday, and they were told in the Leviticus 23 that on the first day after the Sabbath, they should take a sheaf and wave it before the Lord. That was a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. Then they would wait 50 days, count 50 days, and then you would wave another sheaf that was an indication of the first fruits. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit. This is a picture, and I haven't got time to dwell on that now. But God says 50 days. And so the disciples were praying for 50 days, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. God said 50 days, not 49, not 51. God says 50 days. He said 70 years for them in captivity. He said 50 days. God has his own plan, you see. God has a plan. And it doesn't matter how long, what you pray or what you don't pray, you cannot change the plan that God has for you. God says, I have a plan. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of prosperity. Thoughts of deliverance. Thoughts of power to give you a future and a hope. Now, what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. The Lord Jesus is coming back again. He's told we're still in captivity now, but Jesus is coming back again. He has the day. We don't know when that day is. But God has this plan for you today. God has a plan. What does it say? What is the message that we learn from this? God has his own timetable for your life and for my life. For captivity, it was 70 for days. For the Holy Spirit, it was 50. 70 years, it was 50 days. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. God has his own timetable, and nothing can change that plan. No prophecy, not even prayer, not great faith. God has his plan for your life. How old are you at the back? 14. God has a plan for your life. Do you realize? 14. God has a plan. I became a Christian when I was 16. And when I was 16, God spoke to me and said, Barry, I have a plan. And it stuck in my mind. God says, I have a plan. When I was 16, that was over 70 years ago. 70 years. God had a plan for my... God has a plan for your life. Sometimes we look, oh, it all seems to be going wrong. Everything seems out of control. This rope at the end, it all seems to be a dangling rope. But 70 years ago, I attached my rope to the Word of God. My rope to the Word of God. My tikvah. What God says, God cannot lie. No prophecy, not even prayer, with great faith can change this plan of God. This is the anchor point of our hope. God's word cannot fail. So that's my message to you today. We're in a new year, aren't we? Who knows what it's going to bring? People say we're on the verge of a third year. I don't know whether a war's coming. I don't know. It all seems so uncertainty, doesn't it? Uncertain. But we can be absolutely sure of this, that God is in control of this world. God is in control of my life. God is in control of my family's life. This is my tikvah, my hope in God. Where is your hope today? Put your hope and your faith in Jesus. Let me read it again. Can you go back one slide? Is it possible?
Yeah, that's fine.
There. Look at this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You. Me. I know the thoughts. God says this today. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Do things seem to be going wrong in your life? Does it all seem unstable? God says, no, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We can go into this new year with our heads held high, with our shoulders back. Are you stooping a bit in old age? Stand up! Straight! We have a future. We have a wonderful hope. Jesus rose again from the dead. He is alive. All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. The Lord bless you. Thank you.